Today, on a compact version of the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Amtrak offers a winter travel deal if you bring along a friend. West Sacramento forges ahead with a tourism plan. And a record number of Americans will take a cruise next year. We'll tell you where they are going. Those stories and more next in the travel news.
I've been everywhere, man.
Aruba, Jamaica.
Solo Seattle.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Hey there, my friends. Welcome to the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. We are doing the abbreviated version of the Travel Guys today as a result of UC Davis football coming our way.
Was it not an enjoyable evening last night? If you were a Giants fan, the Giants are not in the playoffs or the World Series, or heaven forbid, they're probably a few years away from that. But if you were a Giants fan, you had to take a little solace last night in watching the Dodgers get their butt kicked on in the first game of the World Series. So good luck to the Blue Jays, say all Giants fans. Sorry, Dodger fans, you have an awesome team, but you got it handed to you last night. All right, let's move on here with an update and get into the travel news. Jay, if you've got that bumper there. There we go with the travel news. Amtrak's latest deal allows travelers to bring a companion on roomette bookings. This is really a good deal. It's valid for winter travel only, though. Between November of this year and January of next year, you can ride on Amtrak's most popular routes. And you can get roomettes, which is kind of sort of a version of a first-class airplane seat. You're going to have more room. You're not going to have a bed, per se. You don't have a bathroom in your room, but it's in your car. There are shower facilities on board the train. It really is a cheap way to travel. And so if you are an Amtrak, if you are a train buff, and you have someone who travels with you, then you should go to Amtrak.com and check out the offers. It's a 2-for-1 roomette booking if you travel on Amtrak between late November and mid-January. World Cup sales results are in. Ticket sales for the first opening that folks had an opportunity to buy tickets. Residents of the three host countries, United States, Canada, and Mexico, in that order, have bought the most. Fans from England, Germany, Brazil, Spain, Colombia, Argentina, and France round out the top 10 countries in terms of ticket sales. Noticeably absent there is any country from the continent of Africa. Kind of interesting. Anyway, there is another opening for sales coming up on Monday, and folks will be able to buy tickets again, and then they will be drawing to see who plays where. Of course, that would be of great interest to somebody who was attending the games. If you're a fan of a particular country, why, you're going to want to be able to attend their games. So it's amazing that they've sold a million tickets already. This is kind of an interesting story. This is all about people who are going to Disney. And if you've been to one of Disney's theme parks, you know that it's incredibly expensive to go to Disney, especially if you take a family. You're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars just to get in the door. And, of course, concession prices resemble ballparks and arenas. And then there's all the souvenirs and all of that jazz. So Disney sells a bunch of tickets, a bunch of packages that allow you to go in and basically have unlimited food or up to a certain amount of souvenirs taken out of the park. And so Disney people who go into the park and don't use all of this stuff are posting on their hotel's Facebook page and offering the stuff to other people who are going to the park, things that might allow them to be able to see and do things inside without purchasing those arduous packages. So it'll be interesting to see what Disney does about this. The Washington Post headline says, a Disney World hack for free stuff. Buy Nothing Groups So theme park guests are giving away, are adding to the magic by giving away meals, mugs, and strollers. Some people are buying as much, getting as much food as they can and taking it outside the park and giving it to folks outside the park. We will see. My suspicion is that Disney will step in and correct this in just a short time. Tom, are you back on the air with us?
I do believe I am. I apologize. Not quite sure. I don't know.
Well, at least
I'm here.
At least you're back, and you only have to be here for 24 more minutes because UT Davis football is coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right. Next up in the travel news here, just a quick reminder from our friends at Travelers United. We talk about this every few months or so, but it's amazing how many people who travel infrequently don't know about this rule. If you buy an airline ticket, you have 24 hours to correct any mistakes in it or to cancel the ticket without any penalty. You can change the ticket. You can change the flight, whatever you want to do, but you've only got that 24-hour window. And it's not if you buy it at 6 a.m. on Monday, you have until the end of the day Tuesday. You literally have a 24-hour clock that the airlines will hold you to. So if when you buy a ticket, listen, I've been in the travel business for a long, long time, and even I get burned once in a while because I'm not paying attention. When you buy an airline ticket, a cruise ticket, anything like that that costs you a lot of money and is time-dated and is critical, take a minute just to look at it and look at your calendar and say, yep, that's the right day and the right time, and that's exactly what I needed. Because if you bought that ticket and you look at it when it shows up in your email box on the same day and there's anything wrong with it, you can correct it for free. If you find it out the next day, then that may be, will depend on the airline and the ticket and all of those things. So just a reminder about correcting airline tickets within a 24-hour period. And another reminder here, Airbnb sends out a press release saying they're adding social tools for experiences and updates for host capabilities. You know what would be really cool is if Airbnb guests could talk to Airbnb guests who had stayed in that particular property before. That would be really interesting. But a reminder here that Airbnb is getting into the attractions business. They are allowing you to book a lot of things online to tie into your vacation rental. And just one word of caution there. Make sure you do your homework on pricing and the like, because in some cases you will find prices that are a little bit inflated because Airbnb is getting a commission or some kind of kickback from the sale. And sometimes the price reflects that. Sometimes it doesn't, and you're perfectly fine. But I would suggest to you that it's always best to buy for your vacation attractions and things from the people who are presenting them to you, as opposed to buying them from a third party online.
Well, as we always point out, if something goes wrong, that third-party source, generally speaking, isn't going to be able to help you out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you've got a and you bought it from Joe's Raft Rentals, then if something goes wrong, you're going to call Joe up on the phone or send him an email, and you're much more likely to get a response than you are from Airbnb, who will respond with a bot or something to that effect. Yes, always try to buy as close to from the source as you possibly can, or from somebody who is directly connected to the source and answers their telephone. This city was named safest for the world for travelers for the second year in a row. What do you think it might be, Tom? This really surprised me.
Say again?
The safest city in the world for travelers. Second year in a row.
Sacramento. I have no idea. No,
Reykjavik, Iceland was named the safest city in the world. Visitors to call Reykjavik safe, snug, and warm, which is an interesting description for a place that's in Iceland. I guess if you were indoors, you might consider it that way. Other cities that made the list in order: Copenhagen, Zurich, Amsterdam, Honolulu was fifth. I would sort of agree with that. I feel very comfortable anytime I'm in Hawaii. Sydney, yeah. Barcelona, Lisbon, Tokyo, and Dublin round out the top 10. The next appearance by a U.S. city is number 15. Now, this was Travel and Leisure. And Berkshire Hathaway Travel Protection that put this together. So they asked travelers, and believe it or not, the U.S. city that comes in second on the list at number 15 is San Francisco.
So interesting.
People who
That's
visit,
a bit of a surprise.
Well, it is a little bit, but you know, Tom, San Francisco is much like I saw personally in Portland last weekend. If San Francisco was a stock, you'd probably say, I think it's hit bottom and it's on the way back up. And indeed, we take groups of people to the city on a pretty regular basis. And my groups are reporting back that, and my tour directors that, okay, it's not perfect, but it's better than it was, and it appears to be getting better on a regular basis. So anyways, San Francisco, at least with international visitors, is scoring reasonably high at this point. 22 million Americans are projected to go on a cruise in 2026, and that will be a record number. 21.7 million are projected to go this year. Wow, it's up. It's up almost 50% since COVID. Folks are, and Tom, I remember when I first went into the tour business a number of years ago, that cruises were basically for folks, for mature travelers, for seniors. If you went on a cruise ship, if it wasn't a Disney ship, you were basically going with a bunch of older people, and they pretty much behaved themselves, and there was a certain feel on the cruise ships, and it pretty much permeated from one ship to another. That's not the case anymore. The demographic for cruises has changed dramatically, and cruises have become a very popular vacation product for people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. They're not as expensive as 5-star and 4-star hotels, or going to New York City and seeing Broadway shows and the like. So you can go and party on board. And so that makes it now you see cruise lines that are offering, you know, cruises where we don't have children on board, or different criteria that are set to appeal to a specific demographic. My guess is because families don't necessarily want to be with a ship full of grandparents, and grandparents don't necessarily want to be with a ship full of children. It's nice in some situations, but probably not for a week or two at a time. Busiest cruise ports for next year are in Florida. Miami is going to see 10% of embarking and disembarking passengers. Orlando area's Port Canaveral at 8.8%, Fort Lauderdale at 5%. Galveston, Texas is fourth, and Barcelona is the only non-U.S. city in the top five. Caribbean is going to be the top destination for next year. Among U.S. travelers, Alaska comes in second. The Mediterranean is third. And then destinations around the globe make up the last 16%. So still pretty standard cruise destinations for Americans, at least, but a record number of them are going on cruises next year. I'm not really much of a cruise guy. You know, the idea of getting on a boat and being told what to do and when to do it for a week is not my idea of a vacation.
Well, you know, if you're someone who watches commercial television or anything that has commercials on it, cruise lines are all over the place. And you can tell by the ads and the style of the ads and what you see that cruises are really across the board, like you say, for younger, hipper people, for families, for those with kids. Disney has really kind of grabbed onto the family cruising thing and kind of, I think, owns that category. They even have their own island. But basically, there's cruise for everybody nowadays. I just heard an ad yesterday. It says, no kids and no casinos.
Yes. I've heard that ad also. That's I think that's the Victory line, I believe. But as you can see, so that's how the cruise industry has come full cycle. From promoting primarily to mature travelers, they're now promoting primarily to younger travelers. And when they've got a product that is for what used to be their primary demographic, they have to point it out to people. If this is what you're looking for, then you should you should definitely come over here. But the deal is it's a very affordable vacation. The one thing that I will caution you on, again, as we talk a lot about on this program, do your homework, because a cruise that appears to be price A to start with, once you get all the port taxes and all that stuff, make sure that you're looking at what the real price of travel is and whether or not it includes your airfare or you have to tack that on. I always recommend going in a day early and spending the night in a hotel nearby, maybe two nights, just so that you're absolutely certain that you make the cruise. You start buying shore excursions on board and upgraded meals and things like that, and suddenly you're very affordable vacation. Does this sound familiar to you? You buy a reasonably priced airline ticket,
yeah,
and then you get stuck for the seat and the baggage. Yeah. So this is the business model now for many travel companies, is that sell you the original product and then get you to add on. I personally, as a business person, it's not something that I'm in favor in, but it's all over the place now. And there's really no way to get away from it. You just have to do your homework so you don't get caught proverbially holding the bag. Okay, a couple other quick things here before we wrap this up. The West Sacramento City Council, I found this to be a really interesting story. I'm a tourism guy. They voted unanimously to make tourism a top priority, is this report. The city's been getting a lot of attention over the last year with the temporary arrival of the Athletics playing at Sutter Health Park. On the city's riverfront, this is the first time in West Sacramento's history the city has put a major focus on tourism. It's not a tremendous amount of money. They're talking about $500,000 or so thrown at tourism, but it's just kind of interesting that West Sacramento, for God's sake, is saying, you know, we got something to sell here, and so maybe we should start doing it. Anyway, tourism is coming to West Sacramento. And finally, lots of reports from national parks during the shutdown. Just be aware, you can get into Yosemite Park. The concessions are open. The restrooms are being cleaned there. There is absolutely almost no National Park Service presence. So if you're doing anything that involves the Park Service, then you're kind of going to be on your own. But if you want to go to Yosemite and look at the scenery and have lunch, make a day trip, the hotels in the park are open if you can get in. Of course, the merchants and people who are outside the parks, they're the ones who are suffering the most. So if you make a trip up to Yosemite, or you go down to Fresno and drive up to Sequoia or Kings Canyon, stop outside the park and buy something. I don't care if it's a Slurpee or whatever it is. Patronize those little businesses, because a lot of them are really, their survival is kind of up in the air right now, because we're still in what is a fairly prime travel season for the next couple of weeks. And that is your travel news for today.
All right. Amen to that, Mark. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom. Look, how much did you spend on your last fast food order? Well, instead of just eating out, how about dine out instead? Rudy's Hideaway Lobster House, the place in Sacramento for fresh seafood and hand-cut steaks since 1970. They have a new special for the month, and the month is running out. Prime rib and scampi, featuring their delicious herb-roasted, slow-roasted, choice-aged prime rib, large shrimp sautéed with garlic, white wine, and capers. Your dinner also includes warm sourdough San Francisco French bread, and some wonderful asparagus, baked potato, all for just $36.95 through the end of the month. Just think about it. Makes me want to just, I've been thinking about clam chowder for lunch all day. So there you go. Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, friend of the Travel Guys, right there off of Highway 50 in Hazel in Rancho Cordova. Smarter Traveler segments coming up next. Don't miss it, right here with the Travel Guys. Hey there, Mark and Tom, Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Our amended version of the program today is on the air. We've got UC Davis football coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right, Mark, let's cover the last of our issues here today, and we're going to be talking about do you pay for an assigned seat, or do you take a gamble?
Yeah, there are some times when you're paying, when it the option comes up to pay for a seat on an airplane and you absolutely want to take it. We've identified five of those. If you're traveling with family or friends, you don't want to be scattered all over the airplane or take a gamble that the airline puts you all together, especially if you have different last names and different people bought their own tickets. The computer won't know that you're traveling together, and there's no way to buy the cheap seat and make that happen. So you probably want to reserve some level of paid seat. If you want to work during the flight, you're probably going to want an extra legroom seat. And that's because you're dealing with a carry-on, which is probably under your seat where your computer is. You're having to wiggle around a little. It doesn't give you any more horizontal room, but it gives you a little bit more vertical room and the people around you a little bit more room. So that's probably another time if you're going to work. Plus, if you have to get your computer or your laptop, something out of your surface or something out of your bag, and your bag is up above, then you're going to want to be able to access that. A third time, and I really agree with this, is if you are a woman and you're traveling alone. Few women want to be stuck in a middle seat between two guys, especially when they have absolutely no idea how large those guys might be. You know, there's an old rule that the person in the middle seat really should get two armrests, or at least be able to put their arms down and then you work around them. Women report that when they're seated between two men, that usually does not happen. So if you are a lady and you're traveling alone, you probably want to invest in a reserve seat, because you may very well want to reserve an aisle or possibly even a window seat. Another time when you want to reserve a seat, this is one people really overlook: when you have a tight connection. Being in the back of the aircraft can mean, if you're in row 32 as opposed to row 12, that could be a full 8 or 10 minutes difference in getting off of the airplane. And if you've got a 48-minute connection and you're in Denver and you have to change concourses, that could very well be the difference between making it and not making it. The other thing that's going to happen is you're going to be incredibly uptight about that from the night before until you actually make the plane. So I'm just going to suggest to you that it would be in those situations where you have a tight connection, buy up closer to the front of the plane, get yourself an aisle seat. If there's two of you, take an aisle in the middle, get yourself closer to the front, because those extra minutes you gain when you're disembarking the plane may be really important to you. And finally, the fifth reason that on my list of reasons that you might want to pay for an upgraded coach seat on a plane is if you want to sleep on the plane, then you're probably going to want the window seat, because you don't want people having to climb over you because you're trying to sleep. Of course, if you're really lucky, you'll get one of those planes that says window seat and there's no window there. So then you don't have to worry about, you know, raising your window shade or anything like that. Anyways, five reasons that you might want to consider purchasing an assigned seat on the airplane. When you're traveling with family or friends, you want to work during the flight. If you're a single woman traveling alone, you have a tight connection, probably the most important one, or you want to sleep on the plane. Five solid reasons to pay for an upgraded coach seat. Tom?
Yeah, you know, us Southwest flyers, and I don't know how many people are like my wife and I, flying domestically most of the time, and almost every time we flew was with Southwest, and now we're looking at a whole new world, and that is assigned seating. Mm-hmm. Paying for assigned seats, if you want something that's a little better than what they're going to assign you to, navigating the website in regards to locating seats and all. That's all foreign to me. I've never really did that, especially with Southwest. So, you know, what you're speaking about makes a lot of sense. And for us that were exclusively Southwest, we got to do our homework.
It's definitely changing for you, because and more people fly Southwest than all the rest of the carriers combined in and out of Sacramento. So when we talk about Southwest, we're talking about the majority of Sacramento-based travelers. And of course, if you bought your ticket after the 27th of May, you're already paying baggage charges. I was on a Southwest plane the other day that had the extra legroom because they've already moved the seats. So that doesn't all take effect until the last part of January. In terms of pricing and things of that sort. You are paying for bags now, like I said, if you bought your seat sometime in the summer. So, all right, it's time for us to wrap up and head down the road here. UC Davis football is coming up. Thank you for joining us for an express edition of the Travel Guys today. Tom, any final thoughts?
Nope, that's it. Go UC Davis, and great win for the Kings last night. And, oh, man, I hope it doesn't go badly for the Dodgers again today.
No, that would be awful. We'll see you again next week. We'll have an edition of the Mailbag. Send us your questions right here on the Travel Guys.